Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Welcome into Sunday Skate. I'm Scott McLaughlin with Bridget Prue, and 2025 Bruins face race champion, Andrew Raycroft.
Thank you. Thank you. What a start to my day. What a finish to my night last night. I appreciate you acknowledging.
We were up on the ninth floor rooting you on, of course. And then at the end there, you almost lost. And
I did.
Somebody just chucked your face to the aisle and you won at the last second. And congratulations, by the way.
Highlight of the Bruins season, without question. That's where we're at. That's where our April starts here on the hockey show is the face race.
For people who are very confused and have no idea what we're talking about, the Bruins all season have done this thing called the face race. They had like a whole bracket. Basically, there's these giant fatheads of different former Bruins or personalities, and they get passed across multiple sections of the Loge in a race. And last night was the championship, and Razor beat Johnny Busick. Congratulations, you beat 89-year-old Chief in a race.
Yeah, Chief's got to pick it up. He's
really
got to get back on the treadmill. Chief was certainly invested. He was very invested in that.
Yeah, I know. That was the March Madness bracket that I was following most closely.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was embarrassing. But I if you're going to play, you might as well win. So that's what we did. Yeah,
Speaking of wins, how about the Boston Bruins?
How about that?
5-1 over the Carolina Hurricanes to end their 10-game losing streak. Where did that come from?
Carolina stunk.
Yeah.
Well, they're missing
very clearly an off game for Carolina.
They're missing Staal and Svechnikov, so that's part of it. And yeah, they had that weird thing with Rantanen as well. Like, if this is a team that has those two guys plus Rantanen, I don't think that's how that game goes.
I feel like the vibes have been pretty good in Carolina though since the Rantanen trade. Like that was sort of like this weird dark cloud that hung over them for a month or however long he was there. He didn't want to be there, so they traded him, and now, they have some injuries right now, but it seems like that, probably was addition by subtraction to get rid of him, and that's still a good, that's a really deep team. A little less star power now, but definitely a team that can make noise in the play. Like, if it's Carolina-Washington in the second round, I could absolutely see Carolina taking down Washington, if they're healthy, obviously.
It's really obvious this team, that team, I know it's not a Hurricane show, but they need Svechnikov. I love Svechnikov. I think he's one of the most impact players for their team, certainly in the Eastern Conference. I think he gets buried because he's in Carolina and no one pays attention to them, but he's a massive piece to them, and when he's not in the lineup, the power play doesn't work the same. Nothing works the same, and with him out of the lineup, they obviously took this weekend off losing in Detroit and then playing back-to-back. I've said it all week that this was the game the Bruins were going to win. It just lined up perfectly. A team that's very good, that's locked in the playoffs, that is playing a back-to-back on the road that's going to sleep on the Bruins a little bit, and the Bruins are going to catch them, and they did. And it was nice. It was fun. Like, to have the garden, everyone was excited still. The last 5 minutes of the game were great. It was really loud last night. Of course, at the end of the season, when the Bruins aren't in, you get a lot of people that aren't typically in the garden. It's a lot of giveaways, a lot of, hey, why don't you go to the game tonight? The regulars don't want to go anymore. And I thought it was fun. It was fun in the garden last night, and it was kind of a good way to for everyone to finish the season, including the players. That gets real tiring. Man, oh, man, it gets real tiring losing every night and hearing how bad you stink. And you could tell that they were – listen, they're not delusional. They understand this isn't good, but they actually for one night could have an enjoyable plane ride to Buffalo.
Yeah, and they don't have to hear the same questions, unfortunately, that we've been having to ask, feels like after every game for a month. You know, oh, how do you get out of this? And it's frustrating to have to, you know, deal with the media and the fans that are burying you on the internet and different things like that. And they obviously were frustrated because we went up to Montreal, and the conversations after that game were just like nobody had the answers. And, you know, Elias Lindholm said, oh, we haven't had a full 60-minute effort since our last win. And I felt like they got close to that yesterday. Maybe a lapse in the last 2 minutes. They give up that goal, spoils Swayman's shutout, which really not a big deal. They're already at 5-0, but still maybe just for confidence. That would have been a nice thing for Swayman to get. Everybody seemed much happier after the game than when we've been dealing with them over the past month with the losing streak.
I think they're just happy to get any win. You know, yes, you would take the shutout on top of it, but I don't think that really matters all that much for Swayman. Like, he's happy just to get a win, even just to see a one up there, to, you know, to know that you've ran away with a game. And it was one line that did all the damage, but a line worth talking about because it was a new combination. One that got put together in the third period up in Montreal. They scored in that game, and then Josako kept Elias Lindholm up on the top line with David Pastrnak and Morgan Geeky. And obviously, Pastrnak and Geeky have been clicking for a while here, really since December, maybe even a little earlier when they got put together. But it's usually been Pavel Zacha in the middle, and Elias Lindholm has kind of floated around the lineup, not really had a set home, especially since the trade deadline when he's, you know, I mean, look, they haven't had a second line since the trade deadline. So Elias Lindholm hasn't really had a home. Now you put him here, which is, this is what you envisioned when you signed Elias Lindholm, was him and Pastrnak together. Obviously never, it just didn't happen early on. You know, Lindholm gets hurt the first day of training camp. They miss valuable practice time where you could have built chemistry. They have none when the regular season starts. That line struggles. The whole team struggles. Eventually, Jim Montgomery had to change it up, and they've really only been back together very intermittently since then, because, like I said, Geeky, Zacha, Pastrnak has pretty much been a constant. But now you put Lindholm back there, and it's been four periods, so let's not go too crazy, but it's looked really good. They scored all five goals. Pastrnak has a hat trick, two assists. Geeky had a goal and four assists. Elias Lindholm ends up with a goal and two assists. So they're all plus five. They do all that damage against one of the best defense pairs in the NHL, Jacob Slavin and Brent Burns, right there for all five of those goals.
Which is hard to believe watching Jacob Slavin and how effective he was in Four Nations. And he's still that defenseman, just kind of an off night, a little bit of bad luck as well. And I don't think Freddie Anderson was great in net. Razor, you probably have more of an insight on that. But the fact that that pair, their top pair, was out there for all five goals, but it was all against the Bruins top line as well. That was probably the best effort we've seen from the top line this season. But once again, like you said, it's a different combination with Lindholm in there. And we did think in the beginning of the season it was going to be Marchand, Lindholm, Pastrnak was going to be this.
Originally it was Zacha, Lindholm, Pastrnak.
Yeah, and that could be a great combination. It just hasn't panned out that way, but it looked good last night.
It did. It'll be interesting Yeah. Listen, it doesn't matter, I guess. You know, like, it really, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. I don't think they're going to, okay, lock that line in for next season. But it's really, really important for them, not so much for them to see that line a little bit, but more importantly, to see Zach and Mittelstadt together. That's vitally important, because realistically, with the amount of wingers that they need, it looks like you're going to need to move Zacha to the wing next season. They're just not going to be able to get five wingers for their top nine to fill out their lineup. So it seems like Zacha needs to be a winger for them next season and going through the offseason, which means he needs to be able to play with Mittelstadt at this point. They need to work a little bit. In theory, it should. The way Zacha kind of backs up Mittelstadt allows him to be an offensive centerman. They'll need another winger that can go get the puck and can finish for those two. But Zacha will be the safety valve on that, and that's really, you know, important, I think, going forward, just free agent wise and in how you construct this team in the offseason, if those guys can play together.
Yeah. Zacha, Mittelstadt, Mitch Marner. That could be a good nice
line. There you go.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the, maybe like the other side of this equation. I didn't think that line, Zacha, Mittelstadt, Lysell, did much of anything last night. Looking at the analytics, Bruins got outshot 12-1 when that line was on the ice. So they got pinned in quite a bit, didn't generate much. Yeah, as far as the top line goes, like, you're right. It doesn't matter for this season. Like, Elias Lindholm can't turn around his season in the last five games. But you can at least maybe not completely slam the door shut on that combination. I'm with you. You're not even if they have a great final five games together, you're not locking that in as your top line next season, being like, all right, well, we're all set. We have our first line. We don't need any upgrades there. No. But what it would do is, like, you don't slam the door shut. Because, as you said, there's a lot this team needs. There's a lot of holes they need to fill. It's very possible, I would say even probable, that you don't land an elite number one center this offseason. I just don't think they're going to be there via free agency or trade. Maybe you draft one with your top five pick that you're trending towards, but that guy's not ready next year. That's 2-3, maybe even 4 years down the road. So, you might have more or less the same center options you have right now. So, you know, Zacha at least fits well enough there. If Lindholm can start to fit there a little bit, as Razor said, that opens up, can Zacha be one of these wings that you need? Because right now you really only have two top six wings, maybe two top nine wings. Like, I mean, it's pretty thin.
Yeah. And to be fair, like, the first line success even last night was mostly Geeky and Pasternak, and like those two working with each other. Lindholm factored in and did score, but it was like this tap in at the doorstep where a lot of the work on the shifts were done by Pasternak and Geeky. So it looks good together, but that's because those two guys have been on such a roll. So, yeah. So I think
Lindholm,
but
he deserves some credit for the defensive play too.
Yes.
For getting them out of the D zone. And
yes, he helps those guys, for lack of a better word, because I can't think of the word this morning. I'm still celebrating my face race last night. He compliments, that's the word I couldn't spit out of my mouth. He compliments them very well, similar to Zacha, and he lets them go. You know, and Lindholm needs to get the puck out. He needs to be a centerman that plays defensive. And the reality is Pasta and Zacha need a defensive guy, because otherwise they're not going forward the way they do. As good as David's been in being a little less high danger in the defensive zone, he still needs a defensive guy. Like, he's a forward that goes. And and to that point, Lindholm fits that bill really well. So if he does a good enough job underneath the puck, above the puck, to allow those two to play offense, then he's doing the same thing that Zach is there for. And then again, Zaka moving to the wing is really the only way. Like, you know, you said it again, like, you just think about the wingers that they have, and you continually can't get around the fact that they need Zaka to play wing next year. Like, there's no real way around this, that they need to have Zaka as a winger, which means Lindholm has to be the number one center that's getting paid for, that they brought him in for. He has to figure that out. They have to figure that out to allow Mittelstadt the number two, and you assume Fraser Minton getting the number three spot out of the gates next season, which again allows them to spend all their money on wingers.
So, Razor, did you rack up the kind of bill that the Bruins did after the 2011 Stanley Cup championship when you won last night?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it. Well, I'm like the, what was there, like there was like a Malibu rum or something on it, like some random thing that was mine. That's all I did
and
last
like,
night. Yeah,
yeah. And like two Coors Lights.
Yeah, there was like a one.
I think there was one. Was it Amstel Light?
Yeah, it was something random of, like yeah. that. There was something that there was just one of on the bill that always makes me laugh. Yeah. That you know somebody just like was sitting next to the party that put it on their bill. That,
yeah,
that's
probably
how that worked.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm glad you're still hanging in there.
Yeah.
I'm glad you had a good night last night and that you showed up today, so that's good. And we do want to talk more about Fraser Minton, who you just brought up. We want to talk about Lysell as well, some of the younger guys. And
yeah, we got to catch a break, but yeah, we definitely want to get into them. Jacob Lassner has You're Trending, and then we will be back with more.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
For Sunday Skate. Welcome back to Sunday Skate. Scott McLaughlin here with Andrew Razor Raycroft and Bridget Crew. That was David Pastrnak talking about the Bruins' first win in 11 games. They avoid making history. 11-game losing streak would have tied the franchise record, which was set 100 years ago in their very first season So they avoid that. 5-1 win over the Carolina Hurricanes. You can join us, 617-779-7937. That's the number to call and text. And let's go to the phones, as a matter of fact, and bring in Maria from Watertown. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, everyone. Fraser, are you really taking a victory lap for beating out the Chiefs?
Oh, absolutely, I am. Yes, of course I am. Play to win. Play to win, Maria. Play to win.
That's why we love you, the competitive nature that you have. Last night was awesome. I mean, I think, you know, all we want as fans is to see our team play competitively. Entertainment, to me, is also a part of that, but me, I want to see competitive hockey. Now, I know this roster is likely going to look, or I hope it may look, vastly different going into next season, but the person that I was really worried about during this stretch of play was Jeremy Swayman. And the last couple of games, he seems to have righted his ship, so to speak, because last night he made some spectacular saves. And if it wasn't for his play against Montreal, that game would have been off the rails really, really early on. So I'm feeling like a little bit of relief knowing that our franchise goalie may be figuring things out, and then you can build from there. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that as well. Have a great day, all.
Thanks, Maria. Swayman has definitely looked better these last few games. As we said, it would have been nice for him to get the shutout, but still a really good effort from him. Montreal, he made some outstanding saves while that game was still close. Eventually gets away from the Bruins, in part because they had another just absolutely dreadful second period in which they got outshot 17-2. And by that point, the game was pretty much gone. Like, this team isn't built right now to come back from multi-goal deficits. But Razor, from your perspective, like, is what has started to click with Swayman here?
Well, I don't think there's one or two things. I think a big part of it is when you are officially out and when the writing is officially on the wall, there is a little bit of a relaxation and you take a bit of a deep breath and you kind of just let it fly. I think Jeremy's at that point where the season couldn't really have gone too much worse for him, you know, front to back between the contract stuff at the start to not playing well, to not playing well, to not playing well, and just losing. And so now I think you're getting a little bit of that averaging out at this point in the season. It's kind of the same. So I'm happy that he's playing well. I think it's great that he's playing well. But this is also kind of like the Buffalo Sabres being 7-3. Like, you have to do it at the start of the season. Like, this doesn't matter. This doesn't carry over for Jeremy. It's great that he's finishing well. It keeps your vibe up. It does show that you're okay with him he's not quitting. He's not giving up. He's going to battle through whatever he has to battle through. And that's a good thing when you have a guy for 8 years. It's kind of the same as David. He's not given an inch the entire season, despite the fact that they've been down the last month and a half. He's worked hard every single day. He's first on the ice. These are the guys you need to have for the next 8 years. You know you're going to get the best out of them, or the best that they can give.
Yeah, so, and Morgan Geeky too. Like, I think it's kind of gone under the radar because they're on a losing streak, but he's had a point streak, and he's been contributing as well. Those two have both been guys that have not let up.
No, and Morgan Geeky with the 5 points last night and now has his first career 50-point season. He's 2 goals away from his first 30-goal season. So those are, you know, those nice round numbers that you can strive for. You can make a target. Pastrnak got his, well, you know, some of his last night. 100 points still isn't out of the question because he's up to 94 now. But he gets his 90-point season. He gets his 40-goal season. Just some pretty remarkable history on that for Pastrnak that I wanted to pull up here. So Pastrnak now has four career 90-point seasons. Only four other Bruins have done that. Phil Esposito 7 times, Bobby Orr 6 times, Rick Middleton 5 times, Ray Bourque 4 times. Like, that's quite the class to be in. And then fifth career 40-goal season for him. Only two other Bruins have done that. Phil Esposito 7 times, Rick Middleton 5 times. So he's still in his prime, you know, still, again, assuming there's no blockbuster trade at some point, a lot of years left that he is going to make a lot more history when it comes to this Bruins franchise.
Yeah, he's going to the rafters already. 88's going up there. It's he's great. He's awesome. He's got so much character. He's showing this year another level to his play, to his professionalism, to his leadership now. The team's been really bad, and he really couldn't have had a better season through all of that. 94 points? They've got 202 goals, and he's in on 94.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Like, that is nuts how much he has contributed to this team and what it would look like without him is wow, it's scary.
They would be drafting first for sure without David Pastrnak on this team. But on the heels of that great performance, 5-point performance, hat trick from Pastrnak, I did see comments on the internet about, okay, well, did he solidify his spot recently as captain going forward? It's part of the conversation that comes up with how he's been able to lead by example and be here with the team when they've needed somebody to try to keep them on track or get them back on track during this losing streak and be with them through some really difficult times, probably the most difficult times of most of their careers.
Yeah, I am interested to see how that plays out going forward, because the obvious answer is, well, him and McAvoy are co-leaders, right? We know that. Even Brad Marchand said it when he came back for that practice at the Garden with the Panthers and talked to the media for a half hour, and he said, you know, it's going to be like Chara Bergeron, where they're going to be, one's going to have the C, but they'll basically be co-captains. But which one actually gets the C is interesting. It might not even be next year. Like, they might just do A's next year. But yeah, it's, you know, it's tough for McAvoy. And I know he talked about it last week when he came back to practice for the first time, that it's hard to lead from the sidelines. He's been rehabbing this entire time. Until the second half of this West Coast road trip, he wasn't going on the road with the team because he was staying in Brighton rehabbing. And you can only do so much leading during that time. So, yeah, like, it's easy to say, okay, well, Pastrnak's the guy who stepped up now. And that is important. Like, they've needed someone to lean on right now. And he's been the guy. But you also have to account for, like, McAvoy's going to be able to do more leading up to next season. You know, all summer he'll be here. He'll be skating with guys in Boston up through captain's practices and training camp and the whole thing. So, yeah, I don't know. Reza, do you have, like, a lean either way?
I did. I don't anymore. I think this has added another layer of uncertainty for next season. Another, like, we're going to, everybody in the media, everyone who follows the Bruins will have an interesting offseason because there's going to be a lot going on, and this is just another one. I would have, a year ago, there would have been no question that the next guy up was McAvoy. I just picture the Boston Bruins having a defenseman who's their captain, who's signed for 9 years. It just, you know, the kid down the road, the kid who came in and played with Zdeno Chara right out of the gates, and that it just all lined up really well. But what David's done this year and how he's handled himself and how he has been the team, and again, you guys are in there in the room after he's there every night. He's answered harder questions in a really proper manner the entire way. I think that when you think about the young guys coming in, you think about how much they've watched David and what he's done and him being in All-Star games and on Amazon and being a real face of the league, more so than Charlie. I think that leads to being a captain as well. So it's certainly much, much closer. It's almost a pick'em, to your point. You know, whether it's 1A or 1B, it is much more of a pick'em than I ever thought it would be, and that's a testament to David.
Do you think seniority plays in, though? Because Pastrnak has been here longer, and I do feel like a lot of times it kind of just defaults to, if there's a serious competition like this, maybe just the guy that's been here for a longer amount of time and just been with the team.
I don't think so. I don't think that'll come into play. It's only by a couple of years too. It's not like one guy's 35 and the other guy is 25. You know, they're both pretty similar. They're both going to be around kind of the same amount of time. If anything, you look at the, you know, if Charlie had been ready a year and a half ago, like really ready, and they knew Brad was going to leave after a year, they might have given it to Charlie right out of the gates rather than have a vacant captaincy again right now. So almost, you know, the older you are, sometimes it can go against you in different situations. But in this one, it's a straight pick 'em, and that's a good thing, because again, you're going to have those two guys are the ones leading the way here going forward. There's absolutely no doubt about that now.
Yeah. I'm interested in what fans think. If anyone wants to call or text in, 617-779-7937. Who do you think should be the next captain? Another thing I'm interested in from fans, because Maria touched on this, and I meant to ask her, actually, but do fans feel conflicted? Because, yeah, last night, that was a great atmosphere. Like, people were excited. They were into it. On their feet, lots of "Let's go Bruins" chants. Like, you could tell that was a crowd that wanted the Bruins to win and was enjoying watching them win. And yet, I know we all get the texts from people or social media or whatever, you know, just lose. Just lose out, tank, get the highest pick possible. And it's like this weird difference in vibes of, like, fans who are just watching on TV versus fans who are in the building. Because the fans in the building clearly wanted that team to win last night and, like, did not feel like a conflicted crowd.
Well, yeah, nobody wants to go watch your team lose and spend the money on it and go sit in the stands and be like, oh, well, we were rooting for this. No, you're not. And it was a great atmosphere.
But
yesterday,
I think there are people who might show up thinking, I don't care if they win tonight or not.
Like, yeah, that's
they're
fine.
They're there to meet up with friends.
Call it a win-win, I guess.
Yeah, but then you get into it as the game's happening. And, like, I think, it, as any fan, like, it's very hard to fight against that and be like, oh, no, I'm not excited about this. Like, no, you get swept up. You get excited about it.
But you lose your hat.
You lose your hat.
Go get a one that's... No, I'm not. Well,
four times as expensive.
Nah, I wasn't going to go there. I'll get in trouble that they give you 25% off of the upmarked 35% hat.
Yeah.
Yes, and... I think that's, again, it's just so hard to, as my face race shows, to just enjoy losing. It's just so counterintuitive to everything. And I understand, yeah, I lose to the bottom. It would be one thing if it was Sidney Crosby sitting there, you know, at number one, you're trying to get to one. That would be very nice. I think in this draft, it seems a little more open. Certainly there is a big difference, though, in having, you know, the Patriots really screwed it up. It's the options that you have, the ability to pick exactly who you want. That's the beauty of it. Because it does feel like there's a couple centers that should be at the top of their list. And then there's a couple, you know, the good news is you don't need first overall this year. That's the good news. So everybody, like, you don't need first overall, because the first overall is a defenseman that you probably, you're not going to pass on him because he's really, really good, but you also really don't need that. You need a centerman. That's bottom line. You need the centerman. So being third or fourth probably isn't a bad place to be. Is what I'm saying, I guess.
Matthew Schaefer is the defenseman who's probably going to go first overall, as Razor said. There had been seemed to be like a bit of a push from Michael Misa, who is a center, until he's not having a very good playoffs.
They just got beat out last night.
Playing major juniors.
Yeah, so. They got beat out last night, which isn't... It won't matter,
right.
People
You're not
forget.
Basing the entire draft on one playoff series, but...
But, yeah.
If you're talking about the first overall pick, like...
Correct. You can't take him first overall. So you don't want first overall, because what's going to happen is you're going to take a forward and Schaefer's going to be a Hall of Fame defenseman, right. And people are going to say, oh, the Bruins... How did the Bruins not take Matt? Like, this is where they're at, folks. So you don't... They don't want first overall. I don't want them to have first overall, because I don't want them in that position where they have to make that decision. 3, 4, 5, you're going to get a centerman in that spot.
Yeah. It may very well be, like, 4 centers the next 4 picks, 2 through 5.
Yeah.
All right, we gotta catch another break. I know we have more. Bridget has some goalie questions for Razor. Maybe.
Yeah, next hour probably. I think maybe go to Fraser Mitton in this last segment.
Yeah.
And take the calls that we have.
Yeah, I did want to tease the goalie questions, though, because we can take some of those.
Yes.
On the
we
text
had
line.
The Curtis Curve stick one a few weeks
oh,
ago.
No.
That was great. I mean, it doesn't have to be about the topics of the day. It can just be a random goalie question for Razor. He
and
will answer
any
it.
Goalie question, yeah.
Anything.
617-779-7937. That is the text number and the call-in number. We'll be right back with more Sunday Skate after this.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back to Sunday Skate. That was David Posner talking about Fraser Mitton, who made his Bruins debut last night, acquired from Toronto as one of the centerpieces of the Brandon Carlo trade. Not his first NHL game. He had played 19 games with Toronto. But since being acquired by the Bruins, had spent time in Providence. So he gets a call up and makes his debut last night. Thought he saw a couple good things, you know, especially defensively. He got some penalty kill time. Not much in the way of offensive opportunities for that line. And I am curious, because Joe Sacco before the game talked about using Mitton more in like a defensive role, PK role. And it seems like that's what the Bruins envision him being, or at least see him as right now. And I do wonder, like, if they see more offensive upside there, or if it's already kind of settled that he's basically third line center. Which is valuable. You know, every good team needs a really good third line center. But
well,
I do wonder if
this year,
I do wonder if there's more there with him.
Are you talking about like forever?
What do they see him as going forward?
Well, it you set the expectation, right? As that. It's not like he's scored a lot in his career, right? So that's kind of where it comes to it. Typically, you need to get 150 points in junior to get 100 points in the NHL. You know, like there's not many guys that break out. That doesn't mean that being Charlie Coyle isn't a great way to make a living and a great way to win hockey games. So I think that they just, you know, you set the expectation there. And certainly with... We already talked about the center position, moving Lindholm up and having Middlestat's your second, you know, it seems inevitable as your second line guy next year. And you hope Lindholm can be the first, but, and that allows Mitton to check in as the third line guy. I don't know where he ends up offensively but I think it is a feather in his cap that they talk about penalty kill and they talk about his defensive side. Typically that's harder to learn in pro hockey. So if he has that, that gives him a leg up on everyone else. What I will say, I'm not, you know, you can't really take a lot out of that first game, but I'm a big eye test guy. He looks like an NHLer. The way I didn't notice him out on the ice like I've noticed other young Bruins players come up in saying, yeah, it just doesn't look right. That he looked right to me. I'm not going here. I'm not saying this, but I watched Ryan Leonard the other night. I'm like, he's an NHLer. Yes. Fraser Minton, yeah, he's an NHLer. His body, his skating, the way he plays, the way he sees the ice, it just looks right to me. I I'm pretty good at it. You know, I've seen a lot of guys that don't make it that I knew wouldn't make it, but I'm also not an NHL scout, so I haven't seen these guys enough to really know. But the eye tests he passed for me, which is important because, again, there's a lot of guys that I've seen come up, and I'm like, yeah, no, there's no chance.
I've also heard nothing but good things about his personality and maturity.
Unbelievable.
And you could hear it when he spoke to the media.
He was impressive for me last night. Again, I talked to him in the intermission, but as soon as the intermission was done, eye contact, he asked me a few personal questions. We chatted real quickly in that. He didn't need to do that. He didn't slink off out of the room with his head down and kind of, you know, he had presence. And listen, he came from Toronto where they teach you that the second you're drafted. He's been a World Junior kid. They teach you that the second you get mm-hmm. to World Juniors teams. Like, you know, he's been well-schooled through Canadian hockey, and that's a big part of it. But he's certainly taken to that. And that again, that's it's a big deal. It really is. You can tell who's ready for the NHL and who isn't by how they walk through a dressing room 90% of the time.
You can tell too, like based on this is a kid that at the two previous levels has worn the C, including on that World Junior team, not from this year but the year before, where he played with Macklin Celebrini, he played with Matt Patra, and Macklin Celebrini going into that was the obvious best player on that team in terms of production, but Fraser Minton gets the captaincy. And
Celebrini was also 17 on a team of 19.
Well, I was just going to say, there's politics there too. He's a college kid's never getting the World Junior captain, just so everyone knows
but
that.
But point being, his coaching staffs ahead of his NHL career have seen him as a leader, which is a good thing. And I know we don't have a lot of time, but I do want to play his comments from before the game, Jacob, if we can, just to get one last thought in on, just so people can get a taste of what he sounds like, what he thinks he can bring for Boston.
How did you feel like your game was translating to the Bruins system down in Providence?
Good. I think they went out and got me because they thought it would translate well, and I think it's been doing that well so far. Just being a guy who plays well on both sides of the puck and closes plays and transitions them and plays sort of that reliable, consistent hockey that the Bruins want to play.
Yeah, a lot of responsibility on the centerman in the system. Is that something you cherish?
Yeah, I think I noticed that in Toronto at the start of the year too. Like the centers in pro have a lot of responsibility. You're kind of tasked to be everywhere in the defensive zone. And, I love it. I love getting the puck in the middle of the ice and being engaged all over the rink. So it's lots of fun.
Yeah, and Joe Sacco did point out that the Bruins and Maple Leafs play similar defensive systems. So the adjustment for a center coming over shouldn't be that big for him. You guys, Bridget, you mentioned him being a captain at lower levels. Now, I know that Canadian junior team disappointed massively, and of course that means people in Canada get on you a bit, especially if you're
a Leaf.
Yeah, if you're the captain and you're a Leafs prospect, but yeah. But it still says a lot about him. And that was one of the things I heard, like when the Bruins got him. You know, you talk to people who have seen him, know some things about him, was he's potentially future captain material. Like, obviously that's a ways down the road. Let's not go crazy. But, like, people do start to have opinions of players like that when they're young. We heard the same thing about Charlie McAvoy when he was young. When he was at BU, when he was on World Juniors, you were starting to hear, like, this guy could be captain material. And with Minton, the other thing you'd hear and why I went to, like, what do they see as his upside is you would hear from people who think there's more offense there than he's shown as a pro so far. So that's where I just still wonder, like, if that is going to come somewhere down the line. But either way, Razor, you're right. Like he looks like an NHLer. It's just a matter of how far in the lineup he eventually climbs. And he has the body. He's 6'2", 195. He'll probably put on even a little more muscle and get up over 200. And, like, yeah, that's a guy he's going to hold up in the NHL. You're not going to have to worry about him the way you worry about Fabian Lysell or Matt Patra, where those guys have to figure out how to avoid contact. Frazier Minton, you think that guy can absorb contact. Like, he's going to know how to take a hit and keep going.
Exactly. And again, you go back to, like, he hasn't scored anywhere, you know, at a very high level. So you can't make the jump that he's going to be. 31 goals in 57 games was his best output in juniors. To that point, Michael Misa, who we talked about being a high pick, he got 62 goals this season. Like, he doubled Frazier Minton's best output in junior hockey. So there isn't the upside there isn't for the offense. The upside there is, you know, think of him as Charlie Coyle. I think that's a really, really good comparison in body size, in body type, in personality, in leadership, in the way he plays and his responsibility. Very similar type numbers from Charlie Coyle's junior days and college days to how he started out in the AHL. You go through, it's almost carbon copy all the way through. So I think that's a great comparison for him. And again, if he can become half of that next season, I think we've seen over the last 3 weeks that Charlie Coyle is pretty important to this team in his role, especially when he was a centerman for this team. And that would be good. It'd be unbelievable if Minton becomes that.
And quickly, I'm sorry, Jacob, I know we got to get to this break, but I want to just point out, like, if he pans out to be a middle six forward for your team, and you get a first round pick and you get a fourth round pick for Toronto, that Brandon Carlo deal goes down as a pretty big move for Don Sweeney in the future. It could pan out to be a really great long-term move.
Yeah,
absolutely. It could also go the other way where you miss on the pick and Minton's fourth line center because he doesn't quite move up to three. And then you're saying, kind of thought they were getting more. So a lot still determined, but I liked the return in that trade from the start. So I still definitely like it now. All right, we got to catch a break here. Hour two of Sunday Skate coming up next.